We're going to start from Ayin Dalet Amud Bet in the middle, from the words Va'akate. Va'akate hane milehecha delah bar kapara. We had those three psukim. Remember, we had Lo yochal min hakodashim ki imuchat b'sara b'mayim. I brought all the psukim, I think. Let's just see. Okay. The first pasuk is Vayikra Kaf Gimel Pasuk Vav. Okay. V'lo yochal min hakodashim ki imrachatz b'sara b'mayim. It's the third section on the sheet I did. So that pasuk says you have to be rochetz b'sara, meaning tefillah works, right? The next pasuk is Uba Hashemesh v'taher achar yochal min hakodashim. Okay. That's the following pasuk, and we say that refers to truma. And then the third pasuk is in Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Yutet, Habasar Shiriga Bechol Tameh Lo Yachal Be'esh, Lo Yachal Be'esh Yisareh. No, that's not the Pasuk, sorry. The Pasuk is V'chiper Ala Kohen B'tahira, right? That comes in Vayikra, Yubet. Okay, it's the last Pasuk in that section of the Yoledet. And it says V'chiper Ala Kohen B'tahira. What does that seem to indicate? She becomes Tahora only after the Korban. So we see three Shlavim. Right, so we said one is maaser, right? The earlier stage, all you need to do is to rachatz b'sara b'mayim, mikvah, tful yom, basically, can eat maaser. The next one, who needs harav shemesh, is truma, and the following one is kodshim. Okay, so now they tried to say, well, why don't we switch the order? And then they say, well, obviously this is more chamor, and that makes sense. But then we said this whole thing was according to the fact that this pasuk is referring, the pasuk about truma is referring to a case with the zav, bal shtei riyot, and the mitzora muzgar, where they don't need to bring a korban. But maybe if they were to need a bring a korban, it would be different. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. Va'akate hani mila hecha de la bar kapara. Aval hecha de bar kapara, adamaite kapara. Maybe you should say that in the case, right, this is only Uba Hashemesh v'Taher, it works because it's talking about people who don't need to bring a korban. But if it were the case of someone who needed to bring a korban, you would have to wait till then for them to be able to eat truma. So Amar Abaye, Trei Krai K'tivei B'Yoledet. Now we're going to learn another pasuk that talks about it when you become tahor. Okay, Yoledet. Let's go background. Yoledet gets Tme'ah from Leida. Okay, she's Tme'ah. She can't sleep with her husband. She has to go to, you know, she has to wait till the blood stops. Okay, now how many days is she separated from her husband? Anybody know?
66.
Nope.
For a girl. 14.
No. 14 if it's a girl, 7 for a boy. Wait. Now, then the assumption is she continues bleeding, because women are bleeding after that, right? According to the Torah, you can look in the Pesukim, okay, and that's what Shari's talking about. Pasuk Dalid, this is for a boy. Ushloshim yom ushloshet yamim teshev b'demei tahara. These are called demei tohar. What does that mean? It means we don't do this nowadays, okay? Because nowadays we treat all blood as safek zaha, okay? And therefore we wait for all blood shavah nikim. But according to the Torah law, the rest of those days, okay, for the next 33 days and for the next 66 for a girl, you're called demei tohar. What are the relevant issues of the fact that this is demei tahara? Bechol kodesh lo tiga ve'el mikdash lo tavo. You can't touch kodshim and you can't come to the Beit HaMikdash. Meaning, you can be together with your husband. Okay, all those days, women were allowed to be with their husbands. Okay, whether they want, you know, whether they were going to be immediately or not, a separate question. But they were allowed. They would basically go to the mikvah and they'd be allowed to be with their husbands.
They could go to the mikvah even though they were
even in the time of the Rishonim. Some people say that we still hold by this. Eventually, you know, they got rid of it, and because all women are suffix zavod, and therefore we always have to wait Shavu Nikim. But according to this, okay, according to Torah law, Dimei Tahara, you're allowed to be with your husband, but you can't touch Kodshim, and you can't come to the Mikdash. Why is it so relevant that you can't come to the Mikdash? Because you need to bring the Korban Yoledet. And that's why when all this is done, she brings the Korban Yoledet. Okay, that's the idea. And when does it end, this Tuma? What does it say? Here we go. Ad milot yimei tahara. What does that seem to indicate? Not connected with her bringing the korban. It's until she finishes the day, until the days are over. Just the counting. As soon as the day's over, it should be fine. Okay? Then, obviously, just to remind you, the other pasuk that we used was pasuk chet of that perek, right, which is related to the same issue. If she, right, she's supposed to bring a korban, either this or that, fine, if she doesn't find that, the last words then, v'chiper la kohen b'tahira. So there's two different pasukim that talk about the tahara process for her. One is at the end of the days, and one is after she brings the korban. So it's a little confusing here, right? So what are they going to say? So Abaye says there's two pasukim here. K'tiv ad melot yimei tahara, which seems to imply what? Kevan shamal uyameha tahara. As soon as her days are finished, right, she's tahara. Uktiv v'chiper la kohen b'tahara. Which means you have to bring the korban, and only then are you tahor. So haketzad, how do you reconcile this? Abaye says, kan le truma, kan le kodshim. She can eat her truma right away, which would basically mean haref shemesh, which proves what we were saying before. Now, before we were looking for a pasuk that said haref shemesh by truma. Now we have it. Okay, the assumption is haref shemesh is good, and the kipper ala kohen v'tahara would be just for the kodshim. Okay. Then they say, why don't we switch it? Why do we say that's true, but that's kosher? Maybe it should be the opposite. Again, we're going to see the same sugya as before. Mistabra kodesh chamor. Shekain? Pancakes. Okay? It's relevant for Hanukkah. I didn't even think about it. Pancakes, right? Okay. So, right, those are the pigul, notar, korba, mi'ila, karet, and asur la'onim. And then they say, no, adraba, truma chamura, shekein machpaz, mita chomesh, en lapidyon, and zar. Okay, a zar can't eat it. So then they say, no, hanach nefishan, right? The ones, the pankachs, or however you pronounce it, is more than machpaz. And then Rava, as usual, says, Rava amar afila below hanach nefishan, lomatzi amar. You couldn't say it anyway, even if you didn't have the numbers game. Amar kra v'chiper ala kohen v'tahira, tahara, michlal shehit me'a. So now, what do they say? Because it says v'tahara, it means that before that, she was tme'ah, right? V'isal kadatach b'kodshim, ikre kan v'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh, lo ye'achel. Okay, so now, what do they say? It says, habasar, right, this is a pasuk from Vayikra Zayin, pasuk yutet, I put it on your sheet also. Habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh, lo ye'achel, b'esh yisaref, habasar Okay, so now what is this? One second. Right, here it says, here's a case of kodshim. One second. And. Okay, here it says, okay, what this pasuk is talking about is the basar of a korban that touches anything tameh can't be eaten. That's how, okay? So, a basar ashir yiga, basar kodshim, that touches any tameh, lo ye'achel. Okay, it has to be burned. So now, what do we assume here? So now, we see that a mechusar kipurim is called tameh, and here we see that someone tameh, and as what do we say? If after she brings the korban, she's now tahara. It means she must have been somewhat tameh before. If she's somewhat tameh, then she's tameh who touches kodshim, and obviously tameh who touches kodshim contaminates the kodshim. So it can't possibly be, because we have this pasuk that says anyone who's tameh touches kodshim, they mess it up. So it must be that she can't touch kodshim until she finishes her whole process. Okay. Right, because it has to be that she can't touch basar of kodshim. So therefore, so long as she doesn't bring her korban. Okay, so now, what do they say? So shma mina, so therefore, ela shma mina b'truma. It must be truma is haref shemesh, and there we have our proof. The truma is haref shemesh. Whether you're mechusar kipurim or whether you're not mechusar kipurim, you could already eat truma. Mat kivla rav shisha b'reid rav idi. Okay, so now, what did we have? We had two proofs that this first pasuk, the Hari of Shemesh, is talking about the truma. So now we're going to have a question on this. Umi matzit amar truma k'tiva. Umi matzit amar truma k'tiva hacha. Okay, are we necessarily saying that this is referring to truma? Okay, now we're going to have a problem. If you want to say that the case of the Yoledet is talking about truma when it says, a milot yimei tahara, what's the problem? It says, okay, here's a braita that contradicts it. The Hatanya daber el b'nei Yisrael. Okay, the first pasuk there, you see it, or pasuk bet, right? V'daber Hashem Hashem l'mor, daber el b'nei Yisrael. What does that teach you? that this section is only for Bnei Yisrael. Ein li ela Bnei Yisrael. Giyoret v'shivcha meshuchweret minayin. Okay, here's an interesting, right? We assume that a giyoret and a shivcha meshuchweret, who are considered Jews, are not necessarily considered Bnei Yisrael, right? Because they're not the sons of Yaakov. Okay, they're converts, right? So now, where do you include those people? Minayin, Talmud Lamar, Isha. Because then it says, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, Lemor, Isha ki Tasriya. It's almost like they spoke to Bnei Yisrael, but they said any woman. Okay? V'isal kadatach betruma. Now, what's the whole thing? We're including a giyoret and a shivcha meshuchweret. Now, isal kadatach, if you're saying that this... So now, what do we have? The subject of this section is, it includes, right, all women, whether giyoret, meshuchweret, and everybody. If you're going to say it's betruma, giyoret, v'shivcha, but no mechal truma, they can never eat truma, because they can't marry a kohen. So they can, right, they can't be a bat kohen, and they can't marry a kohen, so they can't ever eat truma. So how can you say this section is even referring to truma? Because truma doesn't affect all the women discussed. So Amar Rava v'lo, v'haktiv, b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Okay, kol kodesh lo tiga, lirabot hatruma. Okay, there's a drasha on this. Chol kodesh lo tiga includes truma, so it does talk about truma. So how could you say it's not talking about truma? Elakra mile mile kachashiv. Okay, now what does that mean? It means that the section is adding all sorts of halachot. They don't all have to intersect, right? It's adding truma, it's adding a shifcha and a giyoret, but it doesn't mean that the shifcha mishachweret and the giyoret have to be eating truma, that every single part of every section has to relate to all of them.
It's sort of like the Gemara as a whole, where things go off on tangents because they're related, but they aren't necessarily about the subject at hand.
Right, okay, you can say that. So basically, they're saying that, you know, some aspects refer to, it doesn't mean it has to be relevant to everybody.
Everybody,
just like you say 613 mitzvah, right? They don't all apply. Nobody can actually be Mekayim all 613 mitzvah, right? It's not possible. Okay. Okay, so now we have these three psukim about truma. What do we have? Bekodashim lo yochal ad asher, right? That's the one. One second. Let me get the three psukim now. Bekodashim lo yochal ad asher yitar, right? That's that pasuk I think I didn't bring on the sheet. Okay. Fine. So let's go through the three psukim. One second. Get it organized here. Okay, we have Vayikra Kaf Bet Dalet. Okay, oh, that's pasuk I forgot to bring. Okay, that's Ish Ish Mizera Aron Behu Saru Oza Bakodashim Lo Yochal Ad Asher Yitar. Okay, that's the first pasuk that's important. That's pasuk Dalet and Vayikra Kaf Bet. Forgot to bring it. Okay, the next pasuk is Uva Hashemesh Vitaher. That's pasuk Zion in that same section. Ba'achar Yochal Min Hakodashim. Okay, so both of those, right? So one says you can't eat ad asher yitar, and we said that that's talking about truma. Then we said uba shamish v'teher v'achar yochal min hakodashim. That's also truma. And then we said that the pasuk by the yoledet is ad melot yemei tahara, right? Which is also about the truma. So now we're going to say, what do we need all these three pesukim for? Di'ime ad asher yitar lo haviyadina b'mai. Okay, it says in the first, right, in the pasuk, Lo yochal ad asher yitar. It doesn't say how are you tahor. It doesn't give you any description in what way. Katav Rachmana uba Hashemesh v'taher. So then it tells you, right? Even right, that pasuk didn't give you a framework to understand what you're nitar by. So you needed uba Hashemesh v'taher. V'i katav Rachmana uba Hashemesh hanemile de la bar kapara. Then you would have thought that pasuk uba Hashemesh v'taher. Remember the tzaru ozav was the all the cases we said where he doesn't need a korban. So you would have thought that Ba'a Shemesh V'Tehar is only, this is why we started today, only for those who don't need a korban. Aval de bar kapara, ema adamaita kapara, right? But you might have said, for a bar kapara, if he's supposed to bring a korban, then he'd have to wait till he brings the korban. So therefore, katav rachmana ab milot, right? Ab milot yimei tahara, which seems to imply, even though the yoledet needs to bring a korban, she's still tahorti truma. Now, v'ita katav rachmana ab milot, maybe you could have just said the pasuk by the yoledet, and then you'd know, a bar kapara, it's enough to have harif shemesh, and then obviously if you're not bar kapara, it'd be enough. So what might you have thought, though? Hava amina afilu bilot tfila. You might have thought the harif shemesh works even without going to the mikvah. And therefore, katav rachmana ad asher yitar means you have to go through some tahara process. You have to go to the mikvah. Okay? So therefore, they have all three to teach you. Number one, you need mikvah. right? Number two, you need Harav Shemesh. And number three, if you're supposed to bring a korban, you don't need to bring the korban in order to be able to eat truma. And that's the purpose of all three verses. This was all according to the guy who says that, remember we had that, I think it was Tana Debei, no, we're going to see, right, Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, who said that it's Zah Bal Shtei Riyot and the Mitzora Muzgar, that both of those don't need a korban. But what about, okay, now, Ulahach Tana De Paligale De Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, De Amar, okay, if you didn't know this, somebody disagrees and says that Ish Ish, Mizera Aron, Tzarua or Zav, what kind of Tzarua or Zav is it talking about? Right, if you think about it, what makes Tzarua and Zav unique? That they need a korban. So maybe that's why it's said there. So Dafkit's talking about when they need a korban. De'amar b'zav b'al shalosh riyot u'bimut tzor mukhlat ha-katub medaber. So then, what do they say? V'hai ad asher yitar ad demaitai kapara. So trekai, and then he would say, right, ad asher yitar means until, right, what's the tahara process? He has to bring the korban. Okay, so when it says, Lo yocham na kodashim, ad asher yitar, that first pasuk that I forgot to bring on the sheet here, that would indicate after he brings the korban. So now, what do they say? So, trei kri b'kodashim lamali, sricha. So why do you need two, 1 second. Ah, right, sorry. Then, ad asher yitar would be, until he brings the korban, would be related to kodashim and not truma. You'd say that that pasuk refers to kodashim and it doesn't refer to truma. So then, we're going to now have, if you remember, there were three psukim. We said one is maser, one is truma, and one is kodashim. So now, we're going to say that that third pasuk that we had, uchiper alea kohen v'tara, is about kodashim. And the pasuk that I forgot to bring on the sheet, which is, ish ish saru ozav, right, lo yochaba kodashim ad asher yitar, is also kodashim. And now, we're going to say, so trei kri b'kodashim lamali, why do you need those two psukim? So they say tzrichi. De'ikata rachmana bioledet. Okay, now, remember, one pasuk is about this tzarua ozav, and one pasuk is about a yoledet. Now we're going to talk about, okay, I gave you the background on purpose to show you so that when we got to this part, you'd understand what makes a yoledet unique that we can't learn from it, right? We need one specific pasuk for the yoledet, and we need another pasuk for the tzarua ozav. Ikat rachmana biyoledet mishum de mirubet tumata. Okay, she's got a lot of tumor, right? She's got 80 days altogether if it's a female, right? And 40 days altogether if it's a male. That's a lot of days, okay? Mishum de merubet tumata. Aba bezav ema lo. But with a zav, you might say that that's not the case, okay? Because it doesn't have so much tuma, so maybe you don't have to wait till your korban to be able to do. Vika tabrachmana bezav de lo hutar michlalo. Aval yoledet ema lo. But what's the cool about a yoledet? It's Demei Tahara. Remember, we talked about this. So what does that mean? There's a heter within it. In other words, yes, she's forbidden for certain things, but she's allowed for other things. She's allowed to her husband, which she normally isn't when she's in Nida. So you see here that that's Hutar Michlalo means there's no, the Zav has nothing that's mutter about him. He's completely usher. Whereas this woman, this Yoledet, maybe because it's Murubatu Mata, right? She has some lesser level of heter. Okay? And therefore, you would think we can't learn from Yoledet to Zav, so Emalo, and therefore it's Sricha. Okay, and that's why, sorry, you couldn't learn from Zav to Yoledet, so therefore we need both Psukim, and that's why we need a Pasuk by Kodashim, and a Pasuk by, a Pasuk by the Zav and the Mitzora, and a Pasuk by the Yoledet to teach you, then in each of these cases, you have to wait to do your Korban, right? This is all according to the person who disagrees with Rabbi Yishmael, and thinks that the Psukim about in Perakaf Bet are talking about Kodashim and not Truma. And then you have to say that you can't learn one from the other and therefore you need them both. B'mayim yuva v'tameada erev lamali. Okay, now we have another pasuk. Okay, this is a pasuk from Vayikra Yud Aleph, pasuk lamed bet. Okay, so let's read the pasuk inside. Okay, also on your sheet. V'chol asher yipol alav mehem b'motam yitma. Mikol kli etz o beged o or o sa kol kli asher yaseh melacha behem. Okay, now all of a sudden we're switching gears. We're not talking about people. We're talking about kelim. Okay, and what does it say? B'mayim yuva v'tameh ad ha'erev v'teher. Okay, so now why do you need this pasuk again about saying b'mayim yuva v'tameh ad ha'erev? Okay, you have right harev shemesh. So why do you need this pasuk additionally? So now, right, you could have just learned it from Adam, right? If Adam needs harev shemesh, so also kelim do. So Amar Rabbi Zera l'negiyah. You need it to teach you about negiyah. 1 second. Right? The pasuk by the Adam was talking about what? He can't eat, right? It wasn't talking about anything about he can't touch. Okay? So that's why they're saying this all comes to teach you that also by negiya, you have to wait for Harav Shemesh. That you can be metame by touching, because a kli can't be metame by eating. A kli can't eat anything, right? The only way kli transfers tumah is by negiya. So therefore, you needed a pasuk by there to teach you about negiya. Ditanya. Vitame. Okay, when it says vitame in this pasuk about vayikra yur aleph, about the kelim, it says vitame ad erev vitaher. Okay, so now we're going to talk about this tame and taher. Okay, the duplicity here a little bit. Vitame yachol lakol. It could be that he. It could be for everything. Talmud lomar vitaher. Therefore, it says vitaher. It doesn't say viyitar. Okay, it should say vitame ad erev. And then he will become, right, atid, he will become tahor. But instead it says vitaher. Taher goes on the past. Okay, so what's it telling you? That it has to do with, he was already somewhat tahor, you understand? Vitamer erev, but vitaher, he was already somewhat tahor from before. So I vitaher, if it just said vitaher, yacholakol, you would have thought he'd be tahor entirely before. So now, Talmud lomar vitame. So haketzav, what's this whole thing, right? They're saying vitame is only to where it relates to certain issues. And vitaher, that he was already tahor from before, relates to other issues. Okay, so now we're going to see what? This is just like we've been doing before. Haketzav, kan lamaser, kan latruma. So now they're saying that negia, basically, they're matching it up to achila. Just like tvul yom, right? As soon as it goes in the mikvah, you can now, if it touches maser, it's not a problem. Okay? Whereas it has to wait, when it comes to truma, it has to wait for Harav Shemesh. So then it applies also for negiyah for a person and for kelim. So then, again, we're going to say the ipochana. Why did we say maser truma? Why didn't we say the opposite? Mistabra ki hechi de chamira achila de truma me achila de maser hachanami chamira negiyah de truma me negiyah de maser. Okay, one answer is, just like achilat truma is more chamor than achilat maaser, then we should assume also that negiat truma is going to be more chamor than negiat maaser. V'ibayat ema, or maybe you could say, negiat de truma mehacha nafka. Okay, oh, sorry, this is a different ibayat ema. Okay, so that's the answer. Now they're going to say, so what did this prove to us? That the pasuk about the kelim proved to us that when it comes to maaser and negiat, right, also, it's the same as achila. Basically, when it comes to a person, when it comes to a kli, touching negiya, touching maser would be enough to be a tful yom. It wouldn't be a problem. For truma, it would have to wait till Harav Shemesh. Now they're saying, maybe we can learn negiya b'truma that needs Harav Shemesh from a different pasuk. V'ibayt'em negiya d'truma mehacha nafka. B'chol kodesh lo tiga. Okay, where is that? That's by the yoledet. Okay, look in pasuk dalet. U'shloshim yom u'shloshim yamim teshev b'dimei tara. B'chol kodesh lo tiga. Okay, so what do they say? B'chol kodesh lo tiga. Azhara la'ochel o eno ela lanogea. Is this an azhara, the Braita says? Is this for achila or is this for negia? Right, so it says, right, does it mean she just can't touch it, but maybe she can eat it? Talmud lomar, b'chol kodesh lo tiga ve'ela mikdash lo tavo. Mekish kodesh lemikdash. Ma mikdash, right, you follow, there's two. It says, chol kodesh lo tiga ve'ela mikdash lo tavo. They're going to say what's true for one is true for the other. Now, what does that mean? Ma mikdash davar sheyesh bo nitilat neshama. If you go to the mikdash when you're tameh, what happens? You get killed, okay? It's like an avera, the tzchai of mavet. Av kodesh davar sheyesh bo nitilat neshama. Okay? So now, what are they saying? This pasuk, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, okay? Kodesh lo tiga, right? Mikdash lo tavo. Okay? Mikdash lo tavo is chayv mavet, okay? If you come to the mikdash, tamei, you're chayv mavet. So kodesh lo tiga must also be something that you're chayv mavet. Now, did anyone ever say you're chayv mavet if you touch Truma and Mitame, you touch Kochim and Mitame? No, nobody ever said that. It's only if you eat it are you Tame. So this clearly is referring to eating. Now it's going to be the obvious question. It's referring to eating. Why does it say, Lo Tiga, don't touch? Okay, so now the Gemara is going to say, V'hai da'afke b'lashon negiya, hachi ka'amar negiya ka'achila. They want to teach us this halacha, that negiya is the same as achila. Okay? And that's remember, what were we trying to prove here? Right? The Negiah Truma needs Harav Shemesh just like Achila Truma. So the first person learned it from a different area, right? He learned it from this Vitameh Vitaher, right? Vitameh Ad Erev Vitaher. He must have been somewhat Tahor, and therefore it must be, right? And that was by the Kli, and the Kli was clearly Negiah. So therefore they learned it from the Kli. And this guy learns it from Negiah, Shabbat Achila, from the fact B'chol Chodesh Latiga really refers to Achila, and it uses the word Negiah to say Negiah is like Achila. Okay, that's the end of our section of all these limudim. Now we're going to get to a ptua daka, and we want to understand what the Isra comes from, then we're going to get to some graphic descriptions of exactly what is a ptua daka.
Are we ready to finish them today?
Are we going to finish them today? I don't know. We'll see. I don't think we're going to get into too much detail about them anyway. So, okay. Ptua daka. Mantana mishtameret labia psula deoraita. Deoraita achla. So do you remember that we had this whole thing about mishtameret labia psula deoraita? If you're engaged to someone, there we started about you're engaged to someone, and then you're, right, if you were to marry them, it would be usher, like a grusha and a kohen. So as soon as it's kiddushin, we had a big machloket there. There was Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon on one hand, and Rabbi Meir, and maybe someone else on the other hand, who said that, right, there was a difference about whether if she's mishtameret labia psula deoraita, then it's usher, or she actually has to do the bia psula, right? Now here, with a ptua daka, okay, ptua daka, they say can't eat truma, right? So now, wait, one second. The Mishnah says here, right, ptua daka kuchipcha, hein v'avdehen yochlu, unishehen lo yochlu. Now, what happens in this situation that's different from the other ones? All the other situations, they have sex, and that's what disqualifies her. Here, right, like if it's a psul, okay? And then we just said that there was an opinion that said even if they're married, even if they're engaged without having had sex, then it's okay, then it's still a problem because she's mishnameret labia psula, right? She's waiting for a bia psula. Now this kruchufcha or psula daka can't have sex. So basically, what's, right? It's a mishnameret labia psula, right? It's basically she's, right, if it's she's his wife, then she's basically waiting for a bia psula, right? That's her category. And here we're saying it's pasul, right? So now, right. Okay. Sorry. The main point here is the second line of the next line of the Mishnah, which is im lo yada mishna saptua daka kuchifcha hare elu yochelu. Okay. If you remember this, right? If she doesn't have sex, let's say she's married. They marry. They have a normal relationship, and then something happens to him. He becomes kuchifcha ptua daka, and now what happens? As long as she doesn't have sex with him, she can keep eating truma. So now they're saying, what does this show you? She's mishnameret labia psula. In other words, she could potentially, right, she's like waiting to have sex with someone who she can't. And yet, right, basically, let's put it this way. What does mishnameret labia psula? She's married to someone, right, or engaged in the other case it was. She's married to someone who she can't have sex with, right? It's forbidden for her to have sex with him. So now, what's the issue here? It says that she can continue eating truma. So they're saying, who's the Tana who says this? That our Mishnah must only be, that's really the chiddush here, according to the person who says that mishnameret labia psula deoraita is can eat. So Amar Rabbi Elazar b'machloket shnuya tzamachloket, and Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon he, okay, they were the ones who said it's okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu tema Rabbi Meir, even if you say Rabbi Meir who said generally mishnameret labia psula is aser, can you think about the difference? Shane hacha shekvar achla. This is a case where there was a good marriage and she was eating truma for a good reason, right? And then he became pasul and then it became forbidden for her to be with him. So she doesn't sleep with him, it's okay. But if it were a case where she wasn't ever allowed to be married to him in the first place, then it's a problem for him to marry, but not this case. So now, what's he basically saying, that the Gemara is going to say? Any woman who is already eating truma can continue to eat truma. Okay, he's not exactly saying that. He's saying it's a combination of things. But now the Gemara is going to say is if he's saying that that's the main thing, that anyone who started eating truma can continue eating truma. We know obviously that's not true. Because Rabbi Lazar, Shekhar Achla Loam, Then they say, Rabbi Lazar, Shekhar Achla Loam Rinan. Okay, Rabbi Lazar now says to him, they're assuming Rabbi Lazar would say this. Why does Rabbi Lazar say she can eat? Because he says, Rabbi Elazar would say, I'm not reading this right. Give me a second. So we have Rabbi Elazar. I was confusing the other Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar b'machloket shnuya, right? And it's Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon on one hand, and Rabbi Meir on the other hand. Rabbi Yochanan, it's confusing because there's two Rabbi Elazar. So let me clarify. There's Rabbi Elazar the Tana, and there's Rabbi Elazar the Emoha. Okay, so we have Rabbi Yochanan, and we have, I should really write it like this. We have Rabbi Elazar, and we have Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Rabbi Elazar says it's a machloket, right? It's a machloket, our Mishnah, between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, right? For Rabbi Shimon on the one hand, and on the other hand, we have Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yochanan says a machloket, because shekvar achla. Okay? Rabbi Meir would agree with our Mishnah, because in this case of a Petzua Dekai, she was already eating Truma, so she can continue to eat Truma. So now Rabbi Elazar, who doesn't think that that's the case, and doesn't think that Rabbi Meir agrees, what would he say? Shekvar acha lo amar. Okay, you can't say shekvar acha lo amrinan. Why? Because di'ilo te mahachi, he takes it very literally. He says, if you don't say that, then ba Yisrael shani say lekohenu meit ba'ala tochal shekvar achla. You would say in a regular case where somebody, right, the Kohen dies, the ba Yisrael now can continue eating truma. Rabbi Yochanan says, obviously, this is the difference. Hatam paka kinyane haka lo paka kinyane. When it comes to the Bat Kohen and the Bat Yisrael and the Kohen, so there's no more marriage at that point. He's dead, right? Whereas the Petzua Daka and the Kruchucha are married to someone, right? They can stay married to them, right? This is a good question about what does it mean, marriage, right? And it's marriage without obvious. Having sexual relations is what? The answer of Rabbi Yochanan seems obvious. Yes, but it's not that they're discrediting Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar has his reason too, and he thinks that there's a distinction. Mm-hmm. You know, that he thinks that shekvar achla lo amrinan. In other words, whatever, you could say, right, each one has a different logic. Okay, ezuhu p'tzua. Okay, now we're going to get into all descriptions of what's a p'tzua daka. Tana Rabbanan. Ezuhu p'tzua daka, kol shenifzu'u beitzim shelo, okay, his testicles, afilu achat mehen, okay, even if one of them are niftzu, vafilu nigvu, even if there's like a hole in them, vafilu nimoku, they shrink, vafilu chisru, some of it got cut off or something. Okay, those are the options here. Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'nosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, shamati mipi chachamim b'kerem b'yavne, okay, here's a dissenting opinion, kol she'en lo ela betza achat, eno ela sris chama v'kasher. Okay, the first one that they said, afilu achat mehen, he says no. Okay, the Koran, by the way, says that the whole question here is he capable of having children? Okay, you see here that medically there were, you know, disagreements about whether he could or not. The Koran, I believe, says, you can look there, Shari, I think it says that that it's people with one testicle can potentially have children. So here they're saying if he only has one beitza, that's called a sris chama. Now, the Mefarshim have a field day about what exactly the sris chama means. Some people say it's because of a choli, a disease, and they say a disease, this is like a whole, there's a whole discussion, and then there's difference of opinion in the Rishami. But some people say if you're p'tzua dakar krut shepcha from birth, that's not what the Torah was postulating. Okay? And therefore, from birth, they would say it's like bidei shamayim, and a machala is also bidei shamayim, measles. And therefore those aren't, what?
Measles.
Right. So if you have it from a disease, that's not considered a p'tzua dakar. Okay, you'd have to be a p'tzua daka from like an injury, basically. Something external rather than something God gave you, right? This goes into a whole good thing about, right? If something happens to you, those people who say hashkacha, that God affects everything, right? In a sense here, they're making a distinction. There's things that happen to you because you get sick and aren't necessarily because you caused it. Obviously, you could say germs, right? I mean, where you draw the line is interesting. And the fact that there's a whole big machloket about it makes sense, okay? How to understand this and where exactly you draw the line. I remember reading in the Yerushalmi, a doctor seems to indicate that if it's from birth, it is a problem. Like, there's all different opinions about how to perceive this and what it is.
We don't hold by this anymore, do we?
What?
That people...
Do we go by this? It's a good question. I don't know enough halakha lamasa. I assume it's in the Torah, the Petzua Daka. The question is just how do we define Petzua Daka?
Right, but so people are married and there's an injury and they can't have sex anymore?
Right, so what happens? Are they not allowed to be together? Right, it's a good question.
I hope we don't go by this.
Right. I don't know. You can look at the Quran. It always has a good halakha lamasa section. So I didn't get to read everything yesterday. Okay. So sris chama sakadatach? Are you really calling this a sris chama? In other words, In other words, this isn't from a machala. Having beitza achad is not usually from a machala. So they say, no, elaharehu kisris chama v'kasher. Having one testicle is like being a sris chama and you're kasher. Because the assumption is it usually, you know, it's from birth. V'nikev lo molid. Could it really be true if he has a hole that it's, he can't be molid? V'ahu gavra. There was a guy, tiselik l'dikla. He went up on an eighth dekel. And he got a coat, thorn in his testicles. And this stuff came out of him, and he was able to have a child. So here's a great response to this. It's, what does it mean he had a baby? His wife had a baby, right? Yeah. Who's to say that it was his child? Okay? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ptsua dekabide shamayim kasher. Okay, here you have Rav Yehuda who says, Ptsua dekabide shamayim is kasher. Amar Rava, hainu dekrinan ptsua, velo krinan hapatsua. That's why it says ptsua deka and not hapatsua. Okay, the sense is that hapatsua means he's the patsua, meaning it happened from birth. And it doesn't say that. So that seems to imply that if it's not from birth, you're not a, if it's from birth, you're not a ptsua deka, because it just says ptsua and not hapatsua. B'matnita tana, ne'emar, okay, here's another, a brayta that seems to prove, that proves this. Ne'emar lo yavo ptsua, v'ne'emar lo yavo mamzir. Ma lahalam bidei adam, af kam bidei adam. They make, okay, and here I brought the psukim, you can see they appear one right after the other. Okay, pasuk bet is lo yavo ptsua, dakar kut shufcha b'kal Hashem. The next is lo yavo mamzir b'kal Hashem. Okay, so what do they say? Just like a mamzir's bidei adam, this one's also bidei adam. Amarava, ptsua b'kulan, dach b'kulan, karut b'kulan. Okay, here he says this is right. It's ptsua b'kulan, dach b'kulan, krut b'kulan. Now they're going to explain. Ptsua b'kulan, ben shenifta agid, ben shenifta beitzim, ben shenifta chutei beitzim, like the stuff that leads to there, like the, I guess the vein, the arteries. Dach b'kulan, okay, they get crushed. Ben shenidach agid, ben shenitchua beitzim, ben shenitchu chutei beitzim. Okay, any one of those parts gets messed up, you're in this category. Krut b'kulan, ben shnichrat agi, ben shnichru beitzim, ben shnichrutu chute beitzim. Amar leh ahud mirabanan l'rava. Mimai da ha-ptsua daka ba'oto makom. Okay, here's a great question. How do you know the ptsua daka is ba'oto makom? Okay? Ema me'rosho. Maybe it means he's got a head injury. Okay? So amar leh midalom mana be'dorot. Shma minam ba'oto makom. This is a great answer. What does it say? Lo yavo mamzer b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yavo b'kal Hashem. And then lo yavo mitzri, right? Dor shlishi, mitzri nedomi, dor shlishi yavo hena. It talks in this whole section about the people and their tzatzaim. The ptsua daka and the krut shufcha doesn't talk about their tzatzaim, right? They have no descendants. Why do they have no descendants? Because it must be their injury is affecting their ability to have children. V'dilma ha'idilom anabal dorot, di'ihu dasur, b'rei ubar b'rei kashir. But maybe it just doesn't mention dorot because it's just for him and not for his future generations. They say no. Dumia dekrut shufcha. Okay? Ma krut shufcha b'otomakom, af hainami b'otomakom. So they say, ah, no, the ptsua daka has to be b'otomakom because the krut shufcha is b'otomakom. Obviously, now we're going to have to say, how do we know the krut shufcha is b'otomakom? Ukrut shufcha gufe mimai de b'otomakom. How do we know that? Ema misfate shufcha. Maybe, what's the issue? Krut shufcha, it means something's spilling out of him. So maybe it could be in his mouth and there's spit coming out. Like if there's a hole, then maybe, or some sort of injury, there's like saliva could be coming out. So shufcha k'tiv, it says shufcha, b'makom sheshofech. So they say, rok, right, spit, it doesn't pour out. Okay, whereas from a male organ, stuff can pour out. So, ema michotamo, maybe from your nose, Steph Kapoor, that's a really interesting discussion here. Mikti bishvoch, it doesn't say bishvoch, krut shufraktiv, misha al yidei krita shofech. It doesn't say a place where stuff is pouring out. It means if you cut it, then it will be pouring out. Shalo al yidei krita eno shofech ela mekalech. In other words, the assumption is that mucus comes out, it's always dripping, okay? It's always like pouring out, whereas if in the from the penis, what happens? Stuff comes out very strongly if it's in good shape, and if it's cut off, then it's going to be kind of spilling out. That's the distinction they make. La fuke haidi idi biidi shofechu. Okay, whereas from the nostrils, stuff comes out, any whether it's cut off or not, it'll come out dripping.
That doesn't prove it, though, because the Torah just says shafuch.
No,
because
it says krut shufcha, which means because it's karut, now it's shafuch. That's the assumption. Dafka, the krita causes the stuff to pour out. Okay. B'manita tana lo yavo p'tsua daka, v'ne'emar lo yavo mamzer. Ma lahalam bo tomakom, af kam bo tomakom. Now they give a better answer, right? This is maybe a more strong answer, which is, we're talking all, this whole section is all about psulei chitun and from a sense of, you know, the relationship. Like, how did a mamzer come about? Because of sexual relations. So here also, it must be bo tomakom. Okay, here's a whole description. I'm not going to get into so much of the details, but this is all a discussion about what kind of cut are we talking about. When it's krut shufcha, what kind of cut? Nikev lamata matara, shekenegdo lamala matara. Okay, if it's cut in a way that it kind of goes, Rashi says, ba'alachson. In other words, it's like a diagonal cut that goes from the top. Then they talk about the atara, which is the tip, versus the body, right, the gid. We said all the problems were with the gid, not with the atara. So what if it starts with the gid and continues into the atara? Okay, shekenegdo lamala matara. So sever b'chia bar'abalach shure. We saw this thing, it has to be mefulash, it has to be going straight through. So what if it's from the gid to the atara, where the atara is not a makom shaposel, and the gid is a makom shaposel? So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba thought that was kasher, because it's not mefulash on both sides of the gid, because it continues to the atara. So Amar le Rav Asi, hachi Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, atara kol shehi ma'akevet. In other words, if it's cut in the atara, it's also a problem. So v'im nishtayar me'atara, okay, this is... 1 second. I've got the whole line here. Let's give me a quote. Ukur, all right, this is from the description. Ukur shifcha kol shenichrat agid, ve'im nishtayar me'atara afil kechut hasara kasher. If there's a bit left on the atara, then it's kasher. So now they're going to say, yativ ravina bekame ba'ele melo hachut amru apnei kula o apnei ruba. If it says, if just a bit of the atara is there, does that mean a bit on the circumference? In other words, it has to be a bit of the atara, but on the whole circumference of the atara? Or can it just be on rove of the circumference of the atara? It doesn't mean a bit sticking out in one little part, okay, right? If this is the atara, so if you have just a little bit here, that doesn't count. It's either a pene rove, or it has to be a little bit, but it goes around the entire circumference of it. So now... they say, Amar le Rava Tosfa al Ravina, Melo hachut al pnei ruba. Okay, you need it to be al pnei arov, not al pnei kula, and not a little bit. The klape reisha, it has to be facing the head. I didn't know exactly what that meant. Let's skip that part. Okay, Amar Rav Huna, now we're going to have different kinds of problems here. Kekumus kshera, kimarzev psula. Okay, when you cut a reed for a kumus, for a quill, right? You cut it along the length of it, right? Like the outside of it is cut, but the inside is still intact. Whereas a marzev is where you write a gutter for the rain. So that's cut out in the middle, but the outside is still there. So now they're going to have a whole machloket about what, right? Which one is a problem, or if either one of them is, okay? So they say a kumus is kshira, according to Rav Huna, okay? Because it's still intact in the middle. But kimarzev is psula because it's empty in the middle. Because why? Hai shalit ba'avira, hai lo shalit ba'avira. The air can get through the middle of it, so therefore it's a problem. Rav Chista amar kimarzev kshera kekumus psula. Hai garid, hai lo garid. Now, if it's cut off like a kolmus, then it's missing a lot of parts, and then it's more difficult for it to, I guess, get erect or for it to be successful. Whereas the one that's cut out in the middle, you still have the outer part, which can basically get aroused. Amar Rava, kavateja Rav Huna mistabra. Hai lo shalit ba'avira, v'hai shalit ba'avira. Im mishum gredata, midi dehavi abarza dechavita. Okay, a barza of a chavit, right, when you put a cock in a chavit, in a barrel, okay, it's narrow on the top and wider on the bottom. So he's saying that when you have something that's cut off on the sides, at least it still has the base, right? The base is intact. It's more like the shape of a cock of a chavit, and therefore... it should be fine, whereas the other one should be a problem. Okay, Amar le Ravina le Mimreimar. Here's going to be our last thing. Hachi Amar Marzut from Mishmei Rav Papa Hilchata Bein Kekumus Bein Kemarzev Kshira. Okay, so then they say it's either way it's Kshira because part of it is still intact and that's sufficient enough. So we have three way machloket, this way or that way, that way or that way, or maybe both of them are fine. Okay, we'll stop here for today.
I wonder how much of